If you have a Bible, you can turn it to Joshua chapter 1. Here at Calvary Chapel, we study the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. We've gone from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. That's five books of the Bible. Praise the Lord. And we're going all the way to Revelation, the book of Revelation, all the way in the end, chapter 22. Let's pray together before we begin. Father, thank you again for your love and mercy, for your compassion that you show to each one of us. Thank you that you have saved us, called us with a holy calling. Pray, Lord, that tonight we would be refreshed and encouraged and strengthened in our faith, and that we would have victory tonight. Please help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to enter into those blessings that you have already available to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua was, I guess you could say, the assistant pastor to Moses. Of course, they didn't have pastors back in those days. They had leaders, but Moses, you remember, was the man of God who brought the children of Israel, that's God's people, out of Egypt. Do you remember that place? Pharaoh, all of the plagues and these things happened. Moses brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea by many miracles and mighty signs and wonders, through the wilderness for 40 years, and brought them all the way to the border of this place called the Land of Promise. And Moses had brought them to that border, and that land of promise was the land that God had given to his people Israel, beginning with Abraham, his son Isaac, and his son Jacob. Promises were made to each of them that they should enter into a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Praise the Lord. It was a good land and a prosperous place. And the children of Israel had wandered for 40 years. Do you know why they hadn't entered into the land? Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 tell us that it was because of unbelief that they did not enter into the promised land that God had already given to them. Well, Moses brought them right to the border, but he didn't bring them in. In fact, if you remember the last part of the book of Deuteronomy, you remember that Moses went up onto the mountain and went to be with the Lord. He died there, and the Lord took him. And now Joshua is here as the leader of God's people, the children of Israel, as they are on the border of the good promised land. And in the book of Joshua, I love it so much, because we're going to see the people of God going from confusion, complaining, wandering. We're going to see the people of God going from bad into the promised land of victory. Amen. And as with all of the Bible, we're going to take these lessons, principles from the book of Joshua, and apply them to our own lives today. Amen. Take these principles and apply them. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can see in the beginning of the book of Joshua, God himself is speaking to this leader. He's speaking to Joshua, and he's giving him a message that he wants him to know. In fact, if Joshua, and because Joshua listened to this message of God and applied it to his life, that is the reason why he had victory throughout the entire book of Joshua up to chapter 24. Amen? And in these verses, we find some very helpful things for us today. You see, today, we don't have really a physical land of promise that we can enter into. Did you know that? That was given to Abraham, to Israel. Back then, you can look on a map today and see the exact boundaries, like we read about here, the great river, all the way to the Euphrates, with the Euphrates River, all the way to the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and you can see the boundary marks of that land that was given to Israel by God. Well, today, for you and me, we don't really have land that God has given to us as the people of God. Maybe God has given you some land. Amen. Some of you are saying, wait a minute, God gave me land. Praise the Lord. I heard a testimony. God gave me land. Praise God. That's good, but for God's people as a whole, that's not the blessing, the promise that we have available for us today. In fact, the blessing and the promised land, you could say, that is available for us today is much greater than any physical thing on this world. Did you know that? People today, they are looking for these physical things, material things like money. Sometimes I hear people, they're talking to me and I hear two words, mzungu and then sente. Maybe you can tell me what people are trying to say to me. But that's a lot of people, even bazungu, in all of the world, are looking a lot of times for material benefits. Prosperity, physically, financially, with land and cars and property and wives or whatever. And people are looking to the material, and sadly, even in the church, a lot of times people are talking so much about material, physical things, things that, by the way, are going to burn one day. You can't take them to heaven with you. Did you know that? And even if you could take all of your money to heaven, you'd find that it's worthless because even the streets are paved with gold. And so many people are focusing on material things, financial prosperity and blessings in the church, and they neglect the real, the deep, the satisfying blessings that we have available to us in Jesus Christ. Heavenly blessings. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus have been given to us. And tonight, before I started, I may have said to you, would you rather have physical blessings or spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ? What would you say to me? Yeah, some people say one thing, some another. Some say physical. Just give me 1 million shillings, I'll be happy. But the truth is this, the spiritual benefits, the spiritual prosperity, the spiritual blessings that God has given to us in Jesus Christ are far greater than any physical thing on this earth. Far greater. It can't even be compared to the glory of those things that God has for us spiritually. Victory over sin, freedom, and deliverance from the bondage that this world and Satan has put us in. These blessings that God has given to us are so great and so wonderful. But the sad thing is this, listen, the sad thing is this. I would say most believers, most people who are saved, do not experience the blessings that God has for them in Jesus Christ. They have never gone out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Do you understand that? You see, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are certain pictures or types, they're called. Egypt, for example, is a type of the world. Even today, you can say, I went and talked to the Egyptians. Talking about someone who's not saved, who lives in the world. Do you get me? Egypt is a type of the world. It's a picture of the world. And God delivered his people out of Egypt. Amen? And they crossed over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea reminds us of salvation, which is symbolized by baptism, right? Water baptism. And after you are saved, you are baptized as an outward representation of what has happened in your heart. And so God brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, which is like a baptism to salvation, but then they don't immediately go into the promised land. They don't go directly from Egypt. Did you get this? They don't go directly from Egypt into the promised land. Do you know where they go first? The wilderness. Amen? And in the wilderness, there is complaining. In the wilderness, there is defeat. In the wilderness, they are not satisfied. In the wilderness, they are not so happy. Did you get that? And in the wilderness, they kept thinking, if only I was back in Egypt, right? Let's be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever felt that way? After you got saved, you thought, I just wish I never got saved. I wish I was back with my old friends doing all those things. Some of you are smiling. Some of you are embarrassed. We've all felt that way. Because the truth is, after we've gotten saved, we've all entered into a place with the Lord that is kind of a new place of the wilderness. A Christian life where, yes, you're saved. Amen. You've gone out of Egypt, you're saved, but you've never really experienced the blessings that come from Jesus Christ. You've never really experienced the life of joy, of satisfaction, of happiness, of blessing. You've never experienced what we call the Spirit-filled life. Did you get that? And there are people today, maybe you're one of them, who have gone out of Egypt, they've gotten saved, but they have never experienced the true blessings and riches that are found in Jesus Christ. And tonight, and even as we study the book of Joshua, this is my prayer. This is what I pray, that those of us here tonight who are in the wilderness would by faith enter into the promised land. And it said that, verse 2, Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And he talks about the land and the borders. And I want us to notice this. Notice this in our passage. The land was already given to the people of God. Did you notice that? He doesn't say, get ready because I am going to give you the land. Does he? He doesn't say that. He says, get ready because I have already given you the land. All you have to go in and do, all you have to do is go in and claim it. Isn't that right? And he says, in fact, I've given you the land, every place where your foot walks. You just keep walking and walking. That's the land I've given to you. And the truth is this. For us today, I'm coming back to our lives. For us today, we don't have to kind of earn or work for or try to achieve the promised blessings that God has for us. The truth is this. The Bible says, He has, that's past tense. It's turning into an English lesson, kind of. That word has means it has already happened in the past. Amen? Those of you English students here tonight, you get this. He has given us every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means this: we rightfully have those blessings, those spiritual blessings, that life of liberty and victory. You can say it that way. It has already been given to us. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to try and do something in order to get it. Do you get me? You know, fasting is good. Praise the Lord. Fasting is great. And I encourage fasting and prayer. But it doesn't matter how long you fast, you can't earn or deserve this life of blessing and victory that God has already given to us. Tithing is good. Amen? And I've heard people say, if you tithe, then I will give you a blessing. This is pastors. If you tithe, and by the way, you have to tithe over 20,000. Amen? It has to be above 20,000. If you give above 20,000, then and only then will you get a blessing. Have you heard that? But if you don't tithe above 20,000, you get no blessing. Have you heard that message preached today? That message is absolutely false. And God's word says, we have, right now, to enter in by faith, not by tithing or fasting or any of these things or working or doing. We have at our disposal right now a life of victory and power and blessing in the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm getting a bit sick and I think my voice is going. Amen. So you're going to have to listen carefully. And the preaching might not be as exciting tonight. Eric, you may want to turn me up. As my voice goes down, you can turn the volume up. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, talking about Joshua, talking about the promised land and how it applies to our life today. It says, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Do you see what the Bible says? And if you have a pen, you can write this down. Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. When you get home tonight, read those two chapters. It's talking about the fact that Joshua was going to lead them into a promised land of physical blessing. But today, it's talking about how Joshua didn't really lead them into the real promised rest, the promised land. Today, we have another Joshua. Do you know what his name is? Jesus. In fact, you may know this, you may not know this. The name Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. Did you know that? So if you were to take Jesus, if Jesus was born back then, in the Hebrew language, in fact, it would have been Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. And so the name Jesus was a very common name at the time of Christ. And this name means, in fact, the same as the name Joshua. And it's talking about how Jesus is there tonight to guide us into a life of rest. Amen? A life of rest. You know what rest is, don't you? It's when you get off of work. Maybe some of you have a hard job. You get off of work. You go home. You get some. In fact, Brian Kinyike was telling me about this pleasure. You get off work. You go home. And you get some passion juice. And you sit in your chair. Are you coming up for passion? You sit down after a long day of work in your comfortable chair and you get your cold passion juice and you just sit there and rest. Amen? You know what resting is? And in Hebrews it says we've entered in, we can enter in to a life a life, an entire life of rest. Now, that doesn't mean we're just going to go home and sit and not do anything. Amen? It's talking about an inner rest. Even though we can be doing things for God, preaching the gospel, working at our job, being an evangelist, whatever you do in your life as a Christian, whatever you are doing, on the inside you can have a rest. Amen? I don't know about you, but have you ever experienced, I've experienced, you try to relate to God by doing a lot of things. Have you ever had a relationship with God like that? If God is going to love me and bless me and like me and be good to me, then I have to do A, B, C, D, all the way up to Z. Do you get what I'm saying? I have to pray at least how many hours? 2? 3? You're saying, Pastor, I don't even pray for 3 minutes. But I think you get what I'm saying. You live your life where you're always worried about what you're doing for God. How much you're praying. How much money you're giving. How many poor people you're helping. How many times you go to church. And always wondering if you're doing enough to please Him. Do you know what I mean? And at the time you get home, you feel like you failed. You feel like you're tired. You feel like you haven't done enough good things. And all you've done is bad things. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're serving God by a list of rules, do this, don't do that. If every day you feel like you just don't want to go anymore, you feel like it's too hard to please God, then the message for you tonight is this. There is a rest available for the people of God. And he who has entered into the rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And you'll find that you can either serve God by a list, do this, don't do that, or you can serve God out of love. And the day that God set me free from my list, you have to pray 1 hour a day. You have to read your Bible at least 30 minutes. You have to give to the poor. You have to fast once a week. Whatever. You have to go to a prayer service all night long. Whatever it is. Once God set me free from that list, you know what happened? It was like a burden was taken off of my back and thrown onto the ground. And the Bible says, if the Son will set you free, you shall be free indeed. And do you know what? My life became, God was able to use me in my life to work for Him, to do things for Him in a greater way after I entered into the rest than before. Because some people say this, if you take the law away from people, if you take the rules and regulations away from people, then the people will just start sinning. Have you heard that before? And the Bible says this, if you take the law away from people as a rule, if you take the list of do's and don'ts away, and you start having a relationship with Jesus Christ that's based upon love, then you are going to be used powerfully by the Lord. I guarantee. I don't guarantee. The Bible guarantees. Amen? And that's our goal. We want to enter in to that life of victory like Joshua did. It says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, a land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Notice God says this. You can see it like 4 times in this passage. He encourages Joshua to be strong and very courageous, to not be afraid. Do you know why he said that to Joshua? Don't be afraid, be strong, be of courage. You know why he said that to him? Because Joshua was a human being, and Joshua most likely was afraid. Amen? You don't have to tell someone not to be afraid if they're not afraid. Do you get me? And God knew that Joshua was going to be used in a mighty way to bring victory, to lead the people into the promised land. And he says, don't be afraid. And do you know what? Joshua had reasons to be afraid. Did you know that? Some of you were here for our study in the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers, Moses sent out 12 spies into the land. Do you remember that? He sent out 12 spies to see if the land was good, first of all, and also to see what the people of the land were like. Okay? Well, the spies came back. They returned. And each of the spies came forward and gave a report of what the land was like and what the people were like. And 10 out of the 12 spies, do you know what they said? They said, the land is good. Amen. The promised land is good. They even brought back some of the fruits, big fruits. And they said, the land is so good, but in the land, there are giants. Giants. You know what a giant is? Like Ofono, except bigger. Really? You remember that guy named Goliath? Goliath was a giant called the Giant of Gath. And Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. So that if I was standing here and Goliath was standing, he would be taller than me even though he's standing on the floor. Do any of you like boxing here tonight? Let me ask you a question. If there was Goliath in the ring, would you go in and box Goliath? Me neither. Well, there wasn't just one Goliath. Goliath was a descendant of a people called the Anakim. And these were a whole tribe of people who were, every single one of them were what? Giants. And every single one of them had big swords. Do you know what a sword is? It's that thing when it comes like this, it can chop your head off. They had swords and spears and shields. And there were more people in the land of promise than there were of people of God. And not only that, but the cities that the people lived in, that they were going to attack, had walls that they said go up to heaven. That's a tall wall. Amen? That's tall. The wall went up. That means they're big walls. In fact, people actually had houses inside of the walls. They were so big, so wide, and so tall. Rahab, chapter 2. We're not going to go there tonight. We're just going to do chapter 1 tonight. But in chapter 2 next week, we're going to see Rahab actually lived there in the wall of Jericho. And there were giants there. There were people that you couldn't even number, count them. Enemies. There were all of these bad things. And so Joshua really, he had some physical reasons to be afraid, didn't he? And God said to Joshua, listen to me tonight. God said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You see what God said to Joshua? We're going to apply this to our lives, so listen. He said, Joshua, there are giants in the land. There are high walls. There are mighty armies that are more numerous than you. But no man will be able to stand against you. And God is saying this to us tonight. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No man, no devil, no evil being can stand against you if God is on your side. And tonight I know this. There are some giants in your life. You are looking into the future and all you can see are high walls, strong armies, and giants. You know what I'm talking about? And there are problems in your life and difficulties and things you don't know how they are going to be solved. You don't know how you're going to conquer those things. And God is saying to you tonight, none of those things will be able to stand against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also through him freely give us all things? And all that God is asking you and me, there are giants in my life. Amen. Did you know that? Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't have giants and high walls and mighty armies. This guy Joshua was the leader, and he was the one God was talking to. And tonight, God wants us to know that those things will not be able to stand before us if we will simply just step out in faith. Trust in God. Trust in Him. Look to Him. Do you have a financial problem tonight? Look to God. Do you have an issue in your life that is beyond what you can imagine that someone could fix it? Look to God. Is there something troubling your heart tonight? You just don't know how it's going to be fixed? Look to God. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. And even though there's a giant in the ring, if you trust in God, you can get in there and beat him, even though you're small. Amen? Because here's the truth tonight. We're small. We're small. And God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The weak things He's chosen. We're small, we're weak, we're foolish, but with God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God wanted them to have courage to go into this land of promise, and He wants us to have faith in Him, to not fear what lies around the corner. Do you get that? What lies around, that means what's going to happen in the future. Are you afraid of the future? Don't be afraid. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." In the book of Joshua, really, that verse kind of gives us a verse to help us understand what the book of Joshua is about for us tonight. The victory of faith. If you just walk into the land by faith, trusting in God, even though there's giants there, you will have victory. And he goes on to talk about in verses 8 through 9, talking about the Word of God. He says, this book of the law, that's the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, that we've studied, that Moses wrote. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And this is something we need to learn tonight. If you want to have victory, put your faith in Jesus. If you want to have victory, stop trusting in your own works. Stop trusting in how much you pray. Stop believing that if you fast for another 2 days, you will then have victory. And put your faith in Jesus Christ. He has victory ready to give you. And you just have to believe Him for it. Thank you, Lord. That's faith is like saying this. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He's giving you that. Thank you, God. That's faith. And we need to know this also. That the life of victory, and this is very practical for us tonight. Listen, if you want something very practical to take home with you as you walk the walk of faith, if we want to live the life of victory, we need to make sure that that life includes God's Word. Amen? And many people say to me, Pastor, I'm just not having victory. I'm praying and fasting and tithing and giving and doing all these things. I just don't have victory, Pastor. And sometimes I say to them, do you have a Bible? And they look at me and say, no. I just read the Bible when I come to church. And you know what I say to them? It's like a doctor giving a prescription. Have you ever had a prescription to get medication? Sometimes I even write on a paper. Get a Bible, open it up, and start reading it. Amen? You want to have victory? Get a Bible, open it up, and start reading it. The Bible says here, meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Let it come into your life. Do you know God's Word? Do you know the verse that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Do you know the verse that says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you know the verse that says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy to help and grace in time of need? God's Word is there, and the more we know it, listen, this is something I can't explain, I just know it from God's Word. The more we know God's Word, the more our lives will have victory. And some people say this about Calvary Chapel. You know, Calvary Chapel is good, but it's really not that exciting. Amen? You know, the preaching is real good, but it's not so exciting, so I like to go somewhere where it's exciting. Tonight it's really not exciting because I can't even shout or anything. And it has always been in this fellowship here, Calvary Chapel Kampala, that we believe that the Word of God is powerful. That's why we teach God's Word. I don't teach just something I just thought up. I don't come up here with no... One time I came up here with no Bible. Do you remember it? And I had to ask the usher to bring me a Bible. But most of the time, I don't come up here without my Bible. And I like to open it up and actually read it and study it. Amen? Because it doesn't matter how much you hit the Bible, how much you shake the Bible, how much you wave the Bible, if you don't open the Bible and start teaching it. And it is my prayer that throughout Uganda, that our churches, not just Calvary Chapel, but every church that names the name of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters, that we would all start giving out, delivering the Word of God. Because I know, I've experienced it and I know it because God's Word says it, that when you know God's Word, you will have victory. And there are people who go to deliverance services. And they get delivered, and then next week, they're back at the same deliverance service. Do you know that? There are people who go to a prayer service and get prayed for, and the next week, same thing. The next week, same thing. The next week, same thing. And their life is continually in defeat. And all I'm saying is this. Open up your Bible and start reading it. Start applying it. Start listening to what God has said to us. And the Word of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to go in between soul and spirit. It's able to cut into our lives. It's able to open us up and give us what God knows we need. Amen? And so that's why God said to Joshua, don't let this Book of the Law. Don't let this Word of God depart from you. Hang on to it with both of your hands. That's what he's saying. In verse 10, verses 1 through 9 are God speaking to Joshua, giving him courage and strength, telling him how to have victory. And verses 10 to the end are really Joshua talking to the people. It says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So you see, Joshua is here. He's taking the message that God gave to him. He has applied it to his life. Notice he doesn't say, okay, guys, we're going to go back to Egypt now. He doesn't say that. Because he's strong. He's courageous because he heard the word of the Lord. And he says to them, we're going to get ready because in 3 days we're going to go in. Amen. And I encourage you, come next week. We're going to look at Rahab and we'll possibly get in to the part where we're going in to the promised land. So exciting. And he's saying to these other tribes, there were 2 1/2 tribes. Gad, that's a tribe of the children of Israel. Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh had already received their promise, their inheritance, on the east side of the Jordan River. Do you remember the Jordan River there? They came up to the border. Well, they had already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan, but the rest of the tribes were going to go in to the promised land to receive their inheritance there. Now, they had made a deal already in the book of Numbers. They had made a deal that those 2 1/2 tribes, Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh, would bring their fighting warriors, their men of war, to help, to assist those other tribes until the land had been subdued of their enemies. You get that? And so that's what Joshua is saying here. He's saying, now leave your families and your cattle and then come in and fight. And then when the land has been subdued, when you have defeated your enemies, then you can go back. And that teaches us this. Listen, a lot of times we can become self-centered. Do you know what that means? Self-centered. It means I care about myself more than everybody else. And if I can get something, then I'll get it, but I don't really care about helping others in need. You know what I mean, self-centered? You're thinking about yourself all the time, how you can advance, how you can prosper. Well, Joshua really is teaching us to guard against self-centeredness. He's saying this, even though you have your promised land, your inheritance, talking to those 2 1/2 tribes, even though you have your inheritance, why don't you go in and help the brothers and sisters who do not have their inheritance? Do you get that? And the Bible says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have you experienced the love of Jesus Christ today? Have you experienced the life that I'm talking about, the life of victory? Of course, there are still battles in the life of victory. I forgot to mention that. Of course, there may be some defeat. We're going to get to that. The city of Ai. But have you entered into that life of victory, that life of rest? Well, look around, because not all of our brothers and sisters here tonight have entered in. Amen? And don't just be content where you are. Of course, we should never be content. We're never perfect. We should always be striving by the Spirit of God to be better. But look at your brothers and sisters. Do you see someone who has been overtaken in a fault? Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted, the Bible says. Do you see someone who is having trouble, difficulty, spiritually? They need prayer? Go to them and pray. Don't leave your brothers and sisters behind. Amen? Don't leave us behind. If you're the spiritual one here tonight, don't leave me behind. Praise the Lord. Let's help one another. Let's consider others as better than ourselves, it says in Philippians chapter 2. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 16, so they answered Joshua saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Do you see the group now? Go back and read in the book of Exodus. You'll see a people of God who were complaining, who were fearful, who lacked faith, who were disobedient. And now look at the people of God. Together, in one voice, they are saying, do not be afraid. Let's go in and inherit the promised land. Amen? And that's my prayer for us tonight, that we would walk in the victory, the life of victory and power that Jesus Christ has made available to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. And let's pray together that God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon us. That He would baptize us afresh with His Spirit and give us a real understanding of the words that have been said tonight. Let's pray. God, we pray that as You led Joshua and the people into the promised land, into the land of rest and the land of victory, that You would lead each one of us into Your promised rest. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Today, if we will hear Your voice, God, please help us not to harden our hearts in unbelief. Jesus, we look to You as the chief shepherd. Lead us on paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Guide us by Thy righteous right hand. Help us, Lord, to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Help us, Lord, because we're weak and we're small. Lord, we pray that in all things You would be glorified in our lives. We love You. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.